Hey there, everybody. It's Mike Arrigo, and welcome to the first podcast in a series. I don't know how many we'll have, but we'll find out, I guess. My new Mac tutorial / demo podcasts. This is something I've long wanted to do, an updated list. And on the Blind Geek Zone, actually, now that they've got a Blind Cool Tech archive, you can check out all of my previous Mac tutorial podcasts if you want to look at those also. But some of the information is a little outdated. Apple keeps their interface pretty consistent throughout their operating systems. But I figured it was time to do an updated series. So we're going to do just that. And again, we'll see how many it turns out to be. When I did my last one, I expected it to just be one podcast, just demonstrating the accessibility features of the Mac and to show that, you know, there is an alternative to Windows. And it turned into like a 14-series podcast, which I never expected, but that's awesome. The response was amazing, so much appreciated, and that's why I'm I'm kind of doing another one here with the newest Mac OS 10.10. So my goal in this one is for any users who are either considering the Mac. Maybe you'll be going into an Apple store or another place that sells Macs, and maybe you want to try one out and see how it works. Or if you've just gotten a Mac and you want to get started with some of the basics. And to just kind of show you an overview of what we have available in the Mac as far as accessibility goes. So hopefully I'll be able to accomplish all three tasks in this recording. And I guess time will tell if I'm successful. Of course, there's no way I can cover every single feature of the built-in screen reader on the Mac, and we'll get into more specifics in other podcasts. But for this one, I just want to start out with talking about the Mac platform in general. Is it for you? Is it worth the switch? Not to say you have to totally abandon Windows, because you don't. I have, actually. I, at least in my home use. At work, I still use Windows 7. But at home, I no longer have Windows on my Macs. I really have no need for it. But it is still possible, and you can run Windows on a Mac. So is it a good switch? Can you do everything that you can on a Mac that you can in Windows? And are there any disadvantages? Are there any reasons why you might want to stay just with Windows and not go the Mac route? So that's some of the things we'll be talking about in this podcast, and then I'll give you an overview of the basic VoiceOver navigation keys, how to enable VoiceOver, and how to do some basic navigation, because the good thing is that once you know those keys, you can use them in any application, whether you're browsing the web, using word processing, it all applies. There's not really separate keystrokes to do different things for different applications, although, of course, depending on what application you're using, some of the commands may not apply. For example, it may not make sense to go to the next heading in a dialog box, but the commands are always available if you want to use them or try them. So let's get into, first off, what is so awesome about the Macintosh platform? Well, the nice thing is that it has a full-featured built-in screen reader. And I'm not talking about just Narrator, although in Windows 8, Narrator's gotten a little bit better, but this is a full-featured, fully functional screen reader. It has most, if not all, of the commands that the Windows screen readers have, and some other ones, actually, that it doesn't have. If you have a laptop, or if you have a desktop and you get a Magic Trackpad, you can navigate your computer using the trackpad. If you're familiar with using iOS, the gestures apply. A lot of them do the same ones. And there are some similarities to Windows as far as you have the same kind of controls, buttons, checkboxes, lists, etc. But there are some differences in how VoiceOver does things, and we'll take a look at some of those actually in this podcast. Having a built-in screen reader though that's built into the OS offers some advantages. You can do a reinstall or update of your OS totally without sighted help. I know in Windows now there's a talking install that I think has been done by a few people But it doesn't work probably with all hardware, and it may not always work. At least I don't think it always works from what I've heard. So, but with Apple, since Apple does control the hardware and also the software, now some people would say that's a little more proprietary, and I guess in some ways it is, but it is tinkered, or it is tweaked basically to work together, and because of that, you can do a reinstall of your entire operating system without sight. You have access to speech and Braille. I don't have a Braille display. I don't use one, but VoiceOver does support several of them. So if you want to use that, most likely you'll be able to do so with all the popular Braille displays. You can do just about everything, I think, that you would do on Windows. Of course, there are some specialty applications that are only available for Windows that may not be available on the Mac, but of course you have iTunes available, and it's very accessible. You can browse the web with several web browsers. Safari is the one that's included, and that's the one I mostly use. Chrome by Google is fully accessible in a couple of ways. You can use it with VoiceOver. It does work. Or you can use an extension called a ChromeVox, which is a built-in screen reader for Chrome itself that will work. Now, you'll lose some functionality. You won't be able to use the trackpad or anything like that if you go that route. But, it does work. Firefox, I haven't checked out accessibility on Firefox recently. But last I checked it was coming along somewhat. So you have web browsing, word processing, text edit is included with the Mac, and it's even more powerful than WordPad, which is what comes with Windows. You can do tables. You can open and save Microsoft Word documents. If you want something more advanced, there's Pages, which is the Apple word processor. Last I checked, OpenOffice was fairly usable as well on the Mac. It's a Java application, but most of the Java applications do work, although Apple is kind of discouraging that now. They don't really officially support Java applications anymore, but they do work. Now for spreadsheets, you have Numbers, which is that's Apple's spreadsheet program. And there's a couple other ones too, although I don't remember what they're called off the top of my head, but there's a couple of other ones. There's also a word processor, I think, called Nasus Writer that also works really, really well with VoiceOver. If you want something that's equivalent to PowerPoint, Apple has another app called Keynote, and these are all available from the Mac App Store. So that's all covered. For your backups, you have a couple of options. You have a Super Duper and Carbon Copy Cloner, which both work very well, and these let you make full-featured backups to an external hard drive, and even makes them bootable. Time Machine is something that's built into the Mac OS. It's sort of like System Restore in Windows on steroids, though, because it backs up everything. But it's not a bootable copy of your OS, whereas Carbon Copy Cloner and Super Duper are complete backups, and you can even boot your Macintosh off of the external drive if something happens to your internal hard drive until you replace it. So that's a really nice option. Let's see. For games, there is RS Games. If you use that, the RS Games client, there is a Mac version of that works well. For radio stations, you've got Radium, which is a very good application. That will let you get the Sirius XM channels, along with many, many other radio stations as well. That's in the App Store. It's not very expensive, and it's well worth the price. So you have plenty of options as far as applications, and of course there's tons of other applications that I'm not mentioning. These are just the ones that I use on a regular basis, but there's certainly plenty of other ones. And now some are free, some are paid. There's for sound editing, you have a couple of options. There's Audacity. You have Pro Tools, which is now accessible, so I'm told, and then you have Amadeus Pro, which is a multi-track sound editor that is accessible. So you have options there for sound editing. If you want to record other output from your Mac, there's an application called Audio Hijack Pro that works really well. So plenty of options for the Macintosh platform. Some other advantages of the Mac platform, I think. It's a much cleaner operating system. The only time you really have to do an install is if something's going to install an extension. An extension is kind of like a driver in Windows terms. Then you might run an installer, but other than that, all the applications are self-contained. So when you want to install an application, you download a file, which is a disk image, basically, is what it is, and you open that, and it basically is like inserting a virtual disk into your drive, as it were. And then you have a file with a .app extension, and you simply put that into your applications folder, and you're done. In most cases, there's no install to run. There's not a central registry where all the applications store everything, and so you risk getting it corrupted. Each application stores its own preference files, and so really to uninstall an application, what you would do is delete the application from your applications folder and then go to your personal folder under the library folder, which is kind of like the closest thing I can think of to maybe compare it to is the application data folder in Windows under your user folder, if you're familiar with that, and delete that particular application's preference files and anything else associated with it. And once you do that, the app is uninstalled. There's no remnants in a registry or anything like that. So because of that, you don't have a lot of the problems that you have with Windows, with the registry getting corrupted and things like that. You're not as susceptible to viruses. Now, that's not to say it can't happen. Any operating system is susceptible to a virus, because a virus is simply a program that has the computer do something that you don't want it to do. So any operating system can get one of those, but with the Mac OS, it's much less likely, because when you're downloading things, they can't really run unless you specifically say to run them. And the first time when you open an application that's downloaded, it will prompt you and say, are you sure you want to do this? And once you say yes, it won't prompt you anymore. But so you're much less likely to get one. Now, of course, if you're careless with things, which is a bad idea anyway, and you just download things and open them without, considering the source and that type of thing, then you could get something that you don't want. But the Mac OS also is much more secure, because a lot of the ports are closed off compared to Windows. So, but again, it's not foolproof, and the Mac can still get viruses. There are some virus programs out there if you want to run one of those. I don't, and I've never had a problem, but if you want to, there are some available. So that's another advantage to the Mac. Now, are there any disadvantages? Well, yeah, there are. There are a couple. One is price. The Macs cost a little bit more, especially for a laptop. You can probably get Windows laptops for like $300 or $400, full-featured. With a Mac, the cheapest laptop that you're going to get probably is around $900 new, or you can usually get one refurbished, but it's like new from the Apple Store. If you don't want to pay that much, but you want to try a Mac, I would suggest the Mac Mini. That's a small desktop computer. I have two of them, and a laptop. I have three Macs altogether. And that one, you provide your own keyboard, your own monitor, if you want to use that, and other peripherals. So that might be the best way to get in to try a Mac. They're a little bit cheaper. So that's one disadvantage, is price. Now, it used to be in Windows, it would end up the same, because if you had to purchase a screen reader, you would end up paying $800 or $900 for that. But that's no longer the case in a lot of ways. There's little, if any, reason to pay that much for a screen reader today, because you have NVDA, non-visual desktop access, which is free, although you can make donations, and I'd highly encourage you to do that if you use that screen reader in Windows. And you have system access, which is also, there's a free version. And those will probably meet the needs of 95% of people, because they work with all the major applications and even, some ones that are not common. And then if you use Microsoft Office, either 2010 or 2013, you can download a free copy of WindowEyes and use that. So a Windows computer may be cheaper, because there's really no reason to pay a bunch of money for an expensive screen reader anymore. That's no longer the case, and that's a good thing. So when it comes down to it, yes, you may pay a little more for a Mac up front. Another disadvantage is there is scripting in VoiceOver, and it can be controlled by AppleScript. But if you're using a very non-standard application, you may not be able to reclass a control per se, or you can label unlabeled controls if the control is not labeled, but you really can't reclass it. And you can't really do a whole lot of like scripting to get it a non-standard application if it's not going to work. Apple takes a little bit of a different approach to accessibility than is sometimes done in Windows. And really, it's a better approach overall, but at times it may not be helpful. Apple's approach is, we've made accessibility components in the operating system, and with all the standard OS controls, the application will just work. And Apple's philosophy is, if an application is not working, contact that app developer and ask them to follow the accessibility guidelines that we have outlined. Either use standard controls or make sure your controls are labeled. And really, that is a better approach, because it's much better for an application to be accessible itself than to have to go in and start modifying the screen reader to work with specific applications. That's done in Windows sometimes. And, you know, it works as far as it goes, but it's not a foolproof solution, because if a new version of that application comes out, it may break the screen reader customization. So it's better for the accessibility to be implemented at the source. Now, of course, there are some application developers who will not do that for whatever reason. And in that case, there might be an application you may not be able to use, or you might be able to find an alternative. But that's another disadvantage. If an application, you know, is not accessible, there may not be quite as much you can do to make it accessible without the help of the application developer. A primary example of that is Adobe Flash. Adobe Flash is not accessible on the Mac. Adobe has really refused to do that, and that's really a shame. But they have. The good news about that is Flash, though a lot of sites still use it, Flash is a dying breed. HTML5 is largely replacing Flash. YouTube now uses HTML5 by default, and the YouTube player that allows you to fast forward, rewind, pause, and everything like that is fully accessible. So some sites still insist on Flash, but really they need to get out of the Stone Age and abandon their Flash, move to HTML5. It's much more universal. It doesn't require a plugin. And actually, when I upgraded my Mac OS to 10.10, I didn't even install Flash. I had it installed before because when YouTube required it, but I don't even have it installed now on my Macs, and I don't ever plan on using it again. because it's not accessible anyway. The Sirius XM, a satellite radio, that site, the player, is all Flash-based, and it's totally inaccessible on the web, but there's a workaround. You can use Radium, that radio station app I was talking about earlier, to play that. And really, I hope eventually that the Sirius XM site, that they move to HTML5 as well. There's really no reason not to. But that's another disadvantage. If an application is not accessible because it uses non-standard controls or anything like that, there may not be as much you can do to make it accessible as you can on Windows, as far as like scripting, reclassing the controls, that type of thing. So those are the main disadvantages of the Mac. And if any of those are deal breakers for you, then then you may want to stick with Windows. But for the most part, though, at least for me, I can do everything that I want to using the Mac platform. So that having been said, some of the conventions I'm going to use in these podcasts, some people, when they're teaching people the Mac, especially those who have come from Windows, they'll say to them, well, forget everything you know about Windows, because that doesn't apply here. I'm not going to take that approach. For one thing, that's not how the mind works. If you're used to something, you can't just forget everything you know. It doesn't work that way. That's not even realistic, in my view. What I will say, though, is and there are some equivalents. The Mac has some equivalents that do the same thing in Windows, and when possible, I'll give you those, if that will help you. But at the same time, what I will say is don't expect this to work exactly like Windows. There are some differences. The Mac has different ways of doing things, and if you go into this expecting it to work just like Windows, you're going to have problems. You know, there's no start menu or anything like that. But again, there are some equivalents, and where possible, I will point those out to you. Okay, that having been said, let's get into this a little bit. And what I'm going to try to show you today on this first podcast, again, it's going to be very general, kind of an overview thing. So if you want to check out a Mac, you can. Maybe if you have a friend that has one, you want to try this. Or if you go to a store that carries Macs and you want to try this a little bit, or if you've just gotten one, just enough to get you started. Now, the Mac does have a tutorial. There is a voiceover tutorial that you can do, and so I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on that in this podcast because you can check that out yourself. But that is available, and you can do that if you want. Also, I've customized my Mac a little bit. So it's not going to look exactly like what you may see, and I'll tell you what I've changed along the way when I can. But again, the keystrokes should be the same. What I'm using here is I have a 2010 MacBook, and it still runs the newest OS quite well. It's got 2 gigs of RAM, running a 10.10.2 Yosemite. So what I want to do first is talk about some of the keys that you'll need to become familiar with in order to use VoiceOver. Now, there are other ways to use it. Again, if you have a trackpad, you can do so. If you have a full-size keyboard with a numeric keypad, you can also use the numeric pad. But I'm going to focus now on the keys that work on all Macs, regardless of which Mac you've got, which keyboard you've got. I'm going to start with those because those will work everywhere. Okay, so I've never seen the Apple Bluetooth keyboard. I've never used it. So if you're using one of those, you may have to get some help in identifying some of those keys, or you can turn on the keyboard identifier, which will help you also, if you can get VoiceOver enabled. But on a laptop, and on the previous Apple keyboard actually it's a little bit different. Let's focus on the laptop keyboards. You have, starting on the left, you have function. This is the bottom row, bottom left. You've got function, and then the next two keys are going to be important to you, control and option. Those are known as the VO keys. You hold those down when you want to do a VoiceOver command. And again, some would say, well, I don't want to always hold that key down, those keys down when I want to do something. And there are other ways, which we'll get into in later podcasts. But right now, I just want to give you something to get you started. Okay, so we have function, control, option, and then command. Now, the command key will also be used to enable VoiceOver. So then you've got the space bar. But let's just focus on those keys: function, control, option, and command on a laptop. Now, if you're using a desktop like an iMac or a Mac Mini, you can plug in a Windows keyboard into one of those computers, and it will work. But there is a slight difference. The control key is the same. The Windows key is the command key, and the Alt key is the Option key. So remember how I said control and Option are important for using VoiceOver commands. If you're using a Windows keyboard, your VO combination is going to be Control-Alt. So that's the keyboard command there. So whenever I say you press VO in something, your VoiceOver, it means on an Apple keyboard, Control-Option. On a Windows keyboard, if you're using that connected to it to your Mac, it's Control and Alt. That's something you'll want to memorize, because to avoid redundancy, I'm probably not going to keep reminding you of that from here on out. So just that's something you'll want to memorize from the start. Okay, so in order to enable VoiceOver on any Mac, you hold the Command key. Now mine's already enabled, so I don't need to do this, but I will, actually, although it'll disable it the first. Okay, I just opened the lid of my laptop and it just woke up. So you press the command key, which again is to the left, and there's also one to the right of the space bar. But let's just focus on the one to the left for consistency. So you, the function keys are at the very top on most keyboards. You've got usually escape, F1, F2, F3, F4, F5, F6, etc. You want to press command F5.
Voiceover off.
Well, and it just turned mine off because it was already on. But when you press that, it will enable voiceover. I'll do it again to enable mine again.
Voiceover on Finder.
Okay. So the first time, if it's the first time you've enable VoiceOver on a Mac, whether it's a new install or if it's the first time you do it on a friend's Mac or whatever the case might be, it will usually ask, it'll give you a quick start dialog box and ask if you want to do the VoiceOver tutorial. I would go ahead and do that, and you can press the tab key to get to the option that you want. And also, the good thing is, it will, if you've turned on a Mac for the first time when you get it, it will actually tell you when it's booted that Mac OS 10 includes a built-in screen reader called VoiceOver, and you can take the tutorial at that point even. It'll offer you the choice to do that. So I'd recommend that you do that when you can. Okay, so VoiceOver is enabled. Now, where I am sitting at the moment is, it said Finder. You notice that Finder is the equivalent in Windows of Explorer, and I'm sitting on my desktop. And where I want to take you, actually, to show you some things, might sound odd at first, but it's a good window to practice some things, and it'll give us some controls to work with that will pretty much demonstrate all of the things I want to show you in this particular first podcast. So where we want to go is the Finder Preferences, which is kind of like... the closest I can come to that in Windows is like folder options, where you control how things are displayed and things like that. And we'll do some navigation in that preferences window, and I'll also, along the way, tell you some things that you're probably going to want to change right off the bat to make your Mac a little bit easier. So, the first thing we're going to do, and this is a Mac keyboard command, and it's one you may want to memorize, it's not a VoiceOver command. In any application that you're sitting in, to open preferences, it's command, remember the command key, next to the space bar on both sides, command comma. And if we press that, we'll get into the Finder Preferences. Let's do that, and that's where I'm going to show you most of what we're going to cover today. And then at the end, actually, we'll go into some other applications a little bit, and we'll use some of these commands that we learn and apply them in some other applications. So let's open the Finder Preferences. If you have more than one application open on whatever Mac you happen to start with, here's another Mac command I'll tell you. It's the equivalent of the Windows Alt-Tab key. It's Command-Tab, and that cycles you through applications. But there's one difference. In Windows, you might have two parent windows open from the same application. Like you might have, if you don't use tab browsing in your web browser, you might have Internet Explorer open twice, and you might be able to Alt-Tab between those two things. In the Mac, Command-Tab always switches between applications, not different windows within the application. There are ways to do that, to switch windows, which we'll get into later. But if you turn on VoiceOver on a Mac and you're in a different application and you want to get to the Finder, just press Command-Tab and hold it down. Keep pressing Tab until you get to Finder. It'll be there. Finder's always running. And once you get there, then release the command key. And there may be some other Finder windows open as well. You may not be on the desktop. For now, that's all right. If you want to close them, you can press Command-W, and that will close any windows you have open. But again, if you're not on the desktop in Finder, that's okay. You can still do this. All right, let's press Command-comma to open Finder Preferences.
Preferences, now in Preferences, window, hard disk. Check.
Okay, so what we got here, it says preferences, it opened it up. Okay, so here is where I want to show you the two most important VoiceOver keys that you're going to need to know. They are VO, which again, remember, is Control Option on an Apple keyboard, Control Alt on a Windows keyboard, left arrow and right arrow. These move you to previous and next item, whatever that happens to be. It might be a block of text. It might be a control. But those two keys are what you're mainly going to use for navigating. So let's do that. I'm sitting on the first control, but let's do VO left arrow.
Show these items on toolbar.
Okay, there's a toolbar. Leave that for now. We'll come back to that because I want to. That's going to be a separate thing that I want to cover. But then let's do VO right arrow and move through this window.
Show these items on the desktop.
So show these items on the desktop. Okay. So as we continue to move.
Hard disk checked checkbox.
Now that will not be checked if you get a new Mac by default. Your desktop will be blank. I've checked that, so the hard drive always shows there. Now, let me tell you one other difference, too, between VoiceOver and how Windows does things. And this is a nice thing. You can disable this, but you barely want to do so. In Windows, for those of you that use Windows, you'll know that when you use your reading cursor in your screen reader, whether it's the mouse pointer or the invisible cursor, the WE cursor, whatever the case might be, that's sort of invisible to your application. You're just reading the window and then all the different controls, and your application is not doing much of anything at that point. And if you want to bring the focus to where you're reading with your reading cursor, you usually have to click on that control with the mouse or do something to that effect. Similarly, a lot of times when you're tabbing around in an application, unless you've changed it in your screen reader, your mouse cursor or your reading cursor doesn't really move in a lot of cases. It stays where you leave it. You can have it do that way in VoiceOver also, but by default, the two follow each other. So when you can use the VO keys and Tab and Shift Tab interchangeably. So for example, it says show these items on the desktop. Okay, and hard disk was the first option. It's checked. I'm going to use the VO right to go to the next control.
External disks. Checked. Checkbox.
And let's go to the next one.
CDs, DVDs, and iPods. Checked. Checkbox.
All right, now, in Windows, what probably would have happened, if you were reading those with your reading cursor, your Tab and Shift Tab would still be like on the first control. But if I Shift Tab now here, which I'm going to do.
External disks. Checked. Checkbox.
You notice it's synchronized. The keyboard, by default, the keyboard focus and the VoiceOver reading cursor follow each other. So you can use the built-in macOS navigation keys and the VO keys interchangeably and have them basically be at the same place, which is a very, very nice feature. I love that. So in a dialog box, if you're, you know, doing the VO keys and moving through it, you can always usually read the label of a control before the text box so you know what to fill in there. And when you get to the text box, your cursor is in the box, ready to type. Okay? So that's another difference between how VoiceOver handle things compared to a lot of the Windows screen readers, and I actually like this way better. All right, let's keep doing a VO right arrow here through this window.
CDs, DVDs, and iPods. Check connected servers. Uncheck. Check up. New Finder Windows show. Microego. New Finder Windows show. Pop-up button.
Okay, a pop-up button in the Mac is the closest thing is like to a Windows combo box. So when you're sitting on it, you can use your down arrow key.
Menu 9 items checkmark, Microego, desktop, documents, all my files, other ellipsis, Mike's MacBook.
And you said ellipsis. If that indicates, that's kind of like in Windows when it says dot, 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 it means it'll open a dialog box. So if you want to close that, which I do, I don't want to make any selection here, just press the escape key on the top left of your keyboard.
Closing menu, Microego, new finder window.
Okay, let's keep going a VO to the right.
Open folders and tabs instead of new windows. Uncheck checkbox.
Okay, that is a setting that was added, I think, in 10.9. You can have new folders open in tabs instead of windows. I think it's easier to have things open in separate windows as opposed to tabs because it's much easier to keep track of. But that's a personal preference. But that will be checked by default if you have a new Mac. In order to uncheck that, if you want to do so, the command... Here's a new VoiceOver command now. The command to activate the item that you're sitting on, whether that's check or uncheck a checkbox, select a radio button, click a button like OK or something like that, it's VO spacebar. So that's another key you're going to want to know. That's what that basically means, select the item that I'm sitting on, whether it's a link, anything like that. VO spacebar will activate the item, or do whatever action would be performed on that control. Now mine's already unchecked, so I'm not gonna click that because it would check it, and then I'd have to uncheck it again. But that's one option I would suggest you uncheck, and that way it'll open up in separate windows.
Spring-loaded folders and windows, delay. Spring-loaded folders and windows, uncheck.
That's a visual effect. You may want to turn that off. I'm just VOing to the right again.
Delay, 50%. Delay, dimmed slider.
Now it's dimmed, but you notice there it said, because I have that option unchecked, but you're on a slider now. And once you're sitting on the slider, your keyboard focus is also already on it, so you can just use the regular arrow keys, not with the VO keys here, to move the slider to whatever percentage you want. That's common in Windows, too, so if you're used to that, that should be familiar to you.
Short, medium, long. Press the spacebar to open immediately. Press the spacebar to open immediately.
And that's the end of that window. Now, I've turned off my sound effects in VoiceOver because I really don't find them helpful, but if you have that enabled, and you can change it in the VoiceOver preferences, which we'll cover the VoiceOver utility in a later podcast, you'll hear a sound that means you're at the end of the window. Okay, so that's basically the three keys that you need to know. I mean, there are a lot of others that are going to be important to you, but if you learn nothing else here, the VO left, VO right, and VO space moves to the previous or next item. VO space activates the item you're on. And that applies anywhere, whether you're moving through a web page, in a document like in a word processor, of course, you can just use the regular arrow keys up and down for lines, left and right for character. Option left and right will move you by words. Command up arrow is the equivalent of control home. It starts at the first line of the document. Command down arrow is end of document in a word processor. But those are the three keys that you need to know to get started, the keystrokes. Okay, let's go back to that toolbar because I want to show you a concept that you won't be familiar with if you're only used to Windows, but it's one that you will need to know to use VoiceOver effectively. Let's go back to the top of the window, and there are keys to do that, but for the sake of it, I'll just VO left arrow back to that toolbar.
Close button.
Okay.
Finder preferences. Finder toolbar.
Okay, the toolbar. In Windows, the way it will work is if there's a toolbar, it'll just give you all the buttons right there, like if you're reading it with your mouse cursor and you can just click on it, you know, whatever item you want. Here is a new VoiceOver concept, and it's called interacting. Interacting, a lot of people have trouble grasping this a little bit, but it's simple if you just take a moment and understand it. Interacting is basically zooming in on an item. There are certain items where to actually access it, you have to interact with it. Toolbars are one of them. Even on a control, you were probably wondering, well, what if I want to spell or read those controls that we were looking at before a word at a time? You can do that. You can interact with any item and look at it in more detail. So the interacting basically is just zooming in or focusing in exclusively on that item. And that's what we do with toolbars. That way, if you don't want to read all the icons on a toolbar, you can just skip it. Okay, so to do that, now here's two other keystrokes that I'm going to introduce you to with VoiceOver. VO shift down arrow interacts with an item. VO shift up arrow stops interacting. So those are keys that you'll also want to memorize. By the way, if you're wondering what VO down or up arrow does, it moves the VoiceOver cursor or the reading cursor down, but you may miss some items that way. So my suggestion to you is when navigating any window, always use the VO left and VO right arrow keys for your basic navigation. So to interact with something, again, it's VO shift down arrow. To stop interacting, it's VO shift up arrow. So let's go ahead and interact with this toolbar because I want to show you a preference that you'll definitely want to change also in your Finder. So we're going to do VO shift down arrow.
Interact with toolbar. Four items, general, selected, button.
It says interact with toolbar, four items, general, and that's the one that's selected. Now our VO left and right arrow is limited just to that toolbar, nothing else. Because we're zoomed in on it. And where we want to go is over to advanced. So let's VO right arrow.
Tags button, sidebar button, advanced button.
Okay, and we want to do VO spacebar to click it. Actually, our keyboard focus...
Advanced button has keyboard focus.
And there are ways to have it tell you that stuff, and I'll give you some of those keyboard commands at the end of this podcast of how to query information. So we could just press the spacebar at this point as well, which is a built-in Mac OS key. But for the sake of learning VoiceOver here, let's do Control-Option spacebar and click on the Advanced button.
Press Advanced selected button.
Now you notice it says Press Advanced, which it activates it, and then now that's selected. All right? Now we want to get out of this toolbar. How do we do it? If you said Control-Option-Shift-Up arrow, you're correct. And that's what we're going to do here.
Stop interacting with toolbar.
Okay. Now let's VO right arrow through the rest of this window, and you'll notice that there's some different options now.
Show all file name extensions. Checkbox.
This is a setting I really have no idea why, but Mac OS and Windows both come, by default, not showing you the file extensions. And I've never understood that. But if you want to see the file extensions, check this option, and I highly suggest you do so. Because that is... Otherwise, you won't be able to tell what any files are. I'm not sure why most operating systems hide those by default. I guess they figure maybe it's more advanced or something. I don't know. But it's... this is how you enable it, so it will show you the file extensions. Okay, let's see if we have anything else in here.
Show warning before changing an extension. Checked. Checkbox.
Okay, that if you have a file and you have a dot something extension, you change it, it'll say, are you sure you want to do this? I'll leave that checked.
Show warning before emptying the trash. Checked. Checkbox.
Before emptying the trash on the Mac is the equivalent of the Windows recycle bin. When you delete something, it goes into the trash. Empty the trash, it permanently deletes it. Just like on Windows, when you empty the recycle bin, it's what deletes everything.
Empty trash securely, uncheck, checkbox.
Empty trash securely, that will basically not only delete the files, but it'll write over them random characters, so the data is effectively irretrievable.
When performing a search, search this Mac. When performing a search, pop-up button.
Again, when performing a search, you have what's called Spotlight, which is kind of like the Windows search. It just sets what to search. Is what that does. It's a pop-up button, which again is like a combo box. We could open it with just pressing the down arrow, or VO space will open it as well.
Menu three items checkmark. Search this Mac. Search the current folder. Use the previous search scope.
Okay. I'm not going to change it, so I'll just hit escape
close
to get out of
there. Close the menu. Search this Mac. Search this Mac. Search this Mac.
And that's the last option in the window. Now, you're probably wondering, if you followed along with me, well, there's no OK and cancel. That's right. Some dialog boxes have OK and cancels, but many on the Mac do not. Many of them, as soon as you make a change, it takes effect right away. And that's the case with this. That's also common in the system preferences, which is the equivalent of, it's kind of similar to the Windows control panel where you change a lot of things. So let's kind of review a couple of things here before we go any farther. So the keystrokes you should know at this point are VO left and right arrow for your navigation. There is one more thing I will show you in here. Let's go back to maybe...
When performing a search.
Now, that's just one item. Let's say I wanted to review that in more detail. I really don't need to, but just for demonstration purposes. Let's say we want to focus in just on that. You can do that if you interact with that text. So we do VO shift down arrow.
Interact with text when performing a search.
Now, if you do VO... right arrow.
When performing a search.
It reads it word by word. If you want to read by character,
when
it's VO shift left and right arrow.
W-H-E-N space P-E-R-F-O-R-M-I-N-G.
Okay. So I just wanted to show you that. All right, let's stop interacting with that block of text.
Stop interacting with text.
Okay. So here's the commands I've shown you so far that, and again, you probably won't get this all in one try, and that's okay. Go back and listen again, and and practice them if you have access to a Mac. So Command F5 turns off and on VoiceOver. Okay, VO, which again, Control Option on an Apple keyboard, Control Alt if you're using a Windows keyboard connected to your Mac. VO left and right arrow move you to the previous and next item. VO shift down arrow interacts with an item, and VO shift up arrow stops interacting with an item. And then if you're interacting with something and you want to read it by character, VO shift left and right will do that. Read it character by character. Okay, so let's close out of this Finder Preferences window, and that'll take us back to the desktop in my case. I'm going to do Command-W, which is to close a window.
Close window, now in desktop.
And VoiceOver will give you labels, too. Now, you can change the verbosity if you don't want this much speech. There are three verbosity levels, and you can even customize it. There's high, medium, and low. I have mine set to high, so it gives the most feedback. And when you do that, if VoiceOver can determine what a key does, like in this case, Command-W closes the window, it will say, close window. So let's put some of this to a bit of good use. Just the keys that we've learned so far. We'll have to introduce a couple of other ones in order to get where I want to go here, but let's do something very popular, which is browse the web with just the keys that we've learned so far. Now, there are, of course, many, many other keys to make this much better and much faster. But again, I just want to show you how this works on the Mac. So let's open the Safari web browser. And to do that, there's a couple ways we can do it, actually. I could open my Applications folder. It's in there. I also have a shortcut for it on my dock. Now, the dock on the Mac is a cross between the taskbar and the quick launch. In Windows 7 and things like that, you can store shortcuts on the taskbar itself. So it's very similar to that. There are a couple ways we can get down to the dock. One way is, and the way I'm going to use in this case, is a VoiceOver command. It's VOD. That will move your focus down to the dock, which by default is on the bottom of your screen, but you can change that. So I'm going to do that. VOD.
Dock. Finder. Open. 1 of 14.
So it says Finder open, because that's currently open. We just want to left and right here.
Safari.
There's Safari, okay. And we press Enter to open it, in this case. Whenever you're opening an application from the dock, you press Enter. That doesn't always apply with other applications, though, which we'll get into in another podcast, because I don't want to put too much in just one podcast. But we'll get there. It's just going to take a few different shows to do it. Again, this one I just want to give you the basics and show you a couple things of how the Mac works to maybe help you decide if it's for you and if you get the chance to try one to do so. So we're sitting on Safari. Let's press Enter.
Finder, Desktop, Macintosh HD, Volley, Safari, Untitled, Window, New Tab, Button.
So we're on New Tab.
Create a New Tab.
Create a New Tab. That's the tooltip. In order to open a page, we have to use another Safari command to do that, and that's Command L, which we'll get to in a minute. What page should we open? I don't know. All right, yes, I do know. How about the Blind Geek Zone page? Let's try that, since that's where this is posted. So what we're going to do, and you can customize too what's spoken when a page loads. If you want it to automatically tell you the number of links and everything on a page when it loads, you can do that. I have all that extra verbiage turned off, which again is set in the VoiceOver utility. And we'll get into all the VoiceOver utility options in a later podcast. So if you're following along with me, what you hear might be a little bit different. But the experience should be somewhat similar. So I'm going to do Command L.
Open location, search or enter website name, address in search, edit.
So it takes us to the address bar. So I'm going to type BLIND dash.
You don't have to be
it. Now it already fills in the title because I've been there before, but for the sake of clarity, I'll type in the rest of it. GEEK hyphen ZONE dot.
The Blind Geek Zone.
And I'll hit Control to stop that speech. All right, so we press Enter.
Untitled window. Untitled. Selected tab. 1 of 1. The Blind Geek Zone. You don't have to be a geek to love it here. HTML content.
And it says HTML content. Now, sometimes you'll end up, well, some pages actually specify that a control should automatically have focus when you first open the page. Like Google does that, Wikipedia does that. they put the focus directly onto the search box. And if that's the case, then that's where you'll end up. Otherwise, you'll just end up at the top of the page. So let's VO right arrow.
The blind geek zone. You don't have to be a geek to love it here. HTML.
All right, so we're on the HTML content. We just need to interact with that. So again, do a VO shift down arrow.
Visited link. The blind geek zone.
Okay. Now, one difference between VoiceOver and how a lot of the Windows screen readers do this is, in Windows on the web, you move line by line. With VoiceOver, you move item by item, is kind of how it is. Now, a link, a control, all those things are considered a separate item. But when you get into text, an item might be a paragraph or something to that effect. So let's just VO right arrow now through this page.
List four items. Visited link, home. Visited link, audio. Visited link, blog. Visited link, contact. End of list. Heading level one, welcome to the Blind Geek Zone. Whether you're a geek, geek at heart or tech newbie, the Blind Geek Zone has something to interest you. With audio tutorials, gadget demonstrations, useful links and programs, and a community of tech gurus just as geeky as I am, you'll quickly make BGC your home on the web.
Okay, that was all one item. So that was just one item. Now, if you want to read that in more detail, a block of text, you can still do so, of course. You can interact with it.
Interact with text, whether you're a geek, whether you're a geek, geek at heart, or a tech.
Or if you want to spell that, you know.
Tech, T-E-C-H, space, N-E-B-B-I-E, comma, space.
So, I'll stop interacting with the block of text now.
Whether you're a geek, geek at heart, or...
So you can still read everything at the same level of detail that you can on the Windows browsers. It's just the way you go about it's a little bit different. So let's say we wanted to click on one of these links. Well, actually, no, let's keep going because there is something else I want to show you.
Whether you're stop interacting with text, heading level 2, Blind Cool Tech Archive page. The Blind Geek Zone is proud to be able to make the visited link BCT Archive page available for everyone to enjoy. If you enjoy access to the BCT Archive page, please consider a donation to keep the archive up and running, as it takes a lot of resources and money to keep this valuable resource available for everyone.
Yeah. I'm going to move through this kind of fast because there is a particular thing I want to show you.
Can't wait to get all of these podcasts. Link, heading, I'm a DJ and music. Link, heading, level 2. Want to help BGC? Do you? Link. Get detail, heading level 2. Want the BGC fee for your get link, heading level. Are you on Twitter or Facebook? Link. And link. Visited link. Find out how, heading level 2. Really like BGC? Building a link, heading level 2. Website status. Last updated. February. Search text field.
Okay, you notice this is what I wanted to show you. Search text field. There's no forms mode or anything like that on the Mac with the web. When you're using your VO keys to navigate and you come to a text box, and this is how it is really with the Mac entirely, the web's no different. We are in the search box now. We could essentially type a search if we wanted to search this site. So what if we wanted to click one of these links? Well, let's go back and let's click on the audio link. Let's just go back. I'm doing VO left arrow.
Visited link. The blind keeps up. Visited link, home. Visited link, audio.
All right. Now, how do you... I'll bet you can guess. How do we click on this link to open it? Right. VO spacebar. Exactly. You can go ahead and press that.
Press visited link, audio.
If you've never been there before, then your computer
visited
won't say...
Visited link, audio.
Visited link. And if the page is similar on the top, then you'll end up on the same place on the new page. But you can always, there are keys to go to the top and the bottom, and we'll get into that more in probably the next podcast. The next one I think I'm going to do is some more advanced voiceover navigation. But now we're on the audio page, so let's just VO to the right.
Visited link, audio, heading level 2, link, BGC update, February 28th, 2015. This podcast was submitted by Rick Harmon. You can contact this contributor via their email at link, roman at blind-geek-zone.net. Just an update on the move to new hosting for BGC. Everything is now mostly complete, so thanks for everyone's patience and support during the move. Link, image, play, podcast, link, Play a new window. Link. Download. Download.
So I'm just pressing the all right arrow key there. So that gives you somewhat of an idea of what VoiceOver is like on the web. Let's do one more thing, just for fun. Let's go to... Oh, I don't know. Why don't we just go to eBay and do a quick search just for fun, okay? So we do Command L.
Open location.
Type eBay.com. Press enter.
Window. BGC audio postings.
Okay, and that page should be loaded.
Internal link banner 8 items. Heading level 1 link eBay. Shop by category. Collapsed button. Search. Edit text. Search.
Okay, so there's the search box. What should we search for? Well, how about MacBook? How about that? So we type in
MacBook.
All right.
Clickable text. All categories. Select a category for search. Pop-up button.
And why don't we do a category for search in this case? So, again, you can press just your down arrow key to open that, or VO spacebar. Either one works.
Menu 36 items checkmark. All cap antiques, art, baby, books, business ampersand industrial, cameras ampersand folk, cell phones ampersand accessories, clothing, shoe, coins ampersand collectibles, computers, tablets ampersand networking, consumer, computers, tablets ampersand
there we go.
Networking.
Computers, tablets and networking. You can press enter, or again, VO space will select it and close the menu.
Computers, tablets ampersand networking. Select a category for search, pop-up button.
And we do VO right arrow.
Search button.
And VO space to click it.
Press search, MacBook vertical line eBay, HTML content.
Now,
search button.
There is a setting in Safari, which I have enabled. It's not enabled by default, though. It's in preferences, which again, in Safari you do command comma to get to it, that enables you to press tab and shift tab to move through every item on a page. And I have that enabled, so I could have just pressed tab there to go to the next control. So let's move through this page and let's see what we've got. And there are commands to move by heading, but I won't use those since I haven't shown them to you yet.
Link, include, or, link, sign in, or, link, register, link, hi, sign in, link, or, link, expand my eBay, collapsed button.
I'm going to move kind of fast, though.
Link, laptop ampersand desktop, except computers, tablets, ampersand networking. Heading level 3, categories.
Now there's some subcategories here.
Compute link. Laptop ampersand desktop accessories, 177,000, link, laptops ampersand netbooks, 6,537.
That's the one I would want if I was looking for a MacBook itself, so I'm going to click on that link.
Link, laptops ampersand netbooks, press link, MacBook vertical line eBay, link, PC laptops ampersand.
Okay.
95, link, 6,000, link, Apple laptops.
Apple laptops, that's another subcategory, let's click that.
Hi. MacBook vertical line, Apple laptops, clickable.
Okay, now again, I'm going to move link through this kind of quick so we get past all the verbiage.
Link, MacBook Pro, 3,800, heading level 3, processor type, menu pop.
And you can choose a bunch of different other subcategories here.
108, link, heading level 3, brand, link, what, link.
I'm just moving kind of fast through
link,
this.
Link, heading level 3. Price. Menu pop-up link. 4,000. Meg link. Default. Link. U.S. only. Link. Sold listings. Menu.
Okay. Almost there, I think.
Bullet. Link. Link. Inspecting the MacBook. Heading level. 6. Link. Apple MacBook Pro Core. 600.
There you go.
Apple MacBook Pro Core i5 2.3 GHz 4 GB 320 GB 13.3 inches MC700LL A Apple MacBook Pro Core i5 2.3 GHz 4 GB $669.99 Click buy it now. Free shipping. Popular. Link. Link. MacBook Pro $280 and 3 bids. Link. Link. Apple MacBook Pro Core 2 Dual 2.4 GHz 4 GB.
So again, we got our search results and we could definitely browse that if we wanted to, so... As you can see, the VO left and right arrow keys work just as well on the web as they do other places. Now, there are commands to go to next previous heading, next previous form element, next previous link. All that stuff is here. And again, we'll get into that in the next podcast. So, that should be enough to get you started. I will give you a couple other keystrokes to play with, and we'll cover them more detail in the next podcast. But let's review the ones we've got so far again. So Command F5 turns VoiceOver on and off. VO left arrow goes to the previous item. VO right arrow goes to the next item. VO shift down arrow starts interacting with an item, and VO shift up arrow stops interacting with an item. VO spacebar activates the item that you're sitting on. And we did VOD, which moves to your Mac's dock. Okay. Before I end this, what I'm going to do is give you a couple other keystrokes that if you want to play with them, you can. Or if you'd rather wait, you can do that too. VOM will move to your menu bar at the top. You have menus on the Mac just like you do in Windows. And then you can use your left and right arrow keys in the usual way. And when you find a menu, press your down arrow key to open it, select the item you want, and press Enter. There's a lot of commands that are associated with the function keys. Now, what makes that interesting is if you're using a Windows keyboard, it'll work fine out of the box. If you're using a Mac keyboard, either on a laptop or one of the Apple keyboards, by default, the function keys will change things such as brightness and things of that nature. So in order for these VoiceOver commands to work, you'll have to do VO and then also hold the function key down to make these commands work. If you don't want to do that, there's a setting in System Preferences under Keyboard where you can say use all function keys for as actual function keys. And you can check that option, and then the function keys will function as software command keys instead of hardware. So here they are. VOF1, you press it once, it will tell you the name of the current application that you're sitting in. If you press it twice, it will give you a menu of applications that are currently open. You can select the one you want, and then when you press Enter, it'll let you select what window to go to within that application. Okay, so that's that. VOF2, press it once, it will announce the title of the current window. And pressing it twice will give you a list of windows within that application, and you can select the one you want and press Enter. VOF3 will tell you the item in the VoiceOver cursor. The VoiceOver cursor is your reading cursor. So it will announce whatever item is in the VoiceOver cursor. VOF4 will tell you what item has the keyboard focus. Now, in many cases, those two things will be the same, unless you turn off the cursor tracking feature, which we'll cover in a later one, because that's a little more advanced. So VOF4 will tell you what item has the keyboard focus. VOF5 will tell you what item is under the mouse. Now, the mouse pointer is separate from the VO cursor, and you can actually set whether the mouse pointer and the VoiceOver cursor are tied to each other, and there's good reason sometimes for doing that. And I'll show you that in a later podcast. I know I've talked about a lot of things we're going to do in later podcasts, and that'll keep you coming back because we have a lot of material to cover. But for now, just know that VOF5 will tell you what item is in the under the mouse. Okay, VOF6 will tell you what items are selected, like if you're in a table or a list view, and you want to know what items are selected, that'll tell you that. All right, so I think that's a good place to stop for the first one. That should give you some material to play with. And again, try this, you know, if you have access to a friend's Mac and you want to do that, or, you know, if you are thinking about getting a Mac, this should give you enough information to get you started. And if you want to experiment beyond that, you can. I'll give you one more keystroke, actually, that will help you. VOH. That is the VoiceOver. Once VoiceOver is enabled, that's the help menu. That's where you can get to listing all the commands. It'll let you open the VoiceOver user's guide, the tutorial, all of those things. So if you want to take the ball and run with it at this point and learn some more on your own, you can certainly do that. In the next one, we'll continue and get a little more advanced. I'll show you some of the other... I'll demonstrate probably some of the keystrokes that I mentioned at the end of this one with the function keys. And we'll get into some more advanced things. How do you, move... If you want to move to the top of something or the bottom of something, there's all kinds of different other keystrokes that we can use. And I'll show you some of the things on the web to get around really quickly. And we'll look at... how do you bring up lists of things? If you want to list all the links or all the headings on a page, or just all the items even in a window, how do you do that? So we'll get into some of that in the next podcast. All righty. Well, I appreciate everybody listening. A lot of people have asked when I was going to do more Mac podcasts or update these. So here you go, and hopefully I'll have time to do more of these throughout if work doesn't keep me too busy. If any of you want to contact me. Tell me what you think. I always love the feedback. That's what made the last Mac series so popular. You can do that. My email address is it's my ham radio call sign, N0OXY, that's November 0 Oscar X-ray Yankee, at charter, charter, .net. So until the next podcast, everyone have a good one, and go ahead and try some of this, and hopefully you'll have a Mac to play with, and who knows, we might see more people added to the list of Mac blind Mac users. The list has definitely grown over the past few years, and hopefully that'll continue. Okay, we'll see everybody in the next show, which shouldn't be too far away.